Well, hey there, and welcome to the Energetics of Emotional Eating podcast. I am Emily.
And this is Jen.
And, well, we got something new to talk about today, and I think we're excited to talk about it. I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're excited. but something that kind of goes along the lines of our, just our trail of topics and whatnot is Jen, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about consistency. Last week, we talked about why your goal is important. So here's a piece of, you know, what's helping us reach our goals. So on consistency, what I thought was really interesting and kind of cool is when I looked this up, you know, how sometimes I like to do that, what the internet says about consistency is that it is, well, so they explain it this way, conformity in the application of something, typically that which is necessary for the sake of logic and accuracy or fairness. So when we're consistent, when we figure out what works for us and we repeat that, that's kind of how I would explain that, right? Mm-hmm. So being consistent, when we do that and are doing that over and over, then we reach our goal. I don't know if that makes sense,
yeah.
But I just kind of, I thought that was interesting.
No, so. I kind of like how you read the definition because it makes you think about it differently. Because it's like the most basic, you know, explanation of the word. I know we all kind of have our own opinions of what it means for us when we explain it in that way sometimes, but I don't know. It kind of helps just to bring it back to basics.
Yeah. And I wanted to just kind of point out, I don't think that this is, I think this is regarding ourselves, like to be consistent and to conform like with our own ideals. Like that's probably important to point out. To be like logical and accurate, like in what like is working for our body. But I just think that's important to point that out. It's not, we shouldn't be conforming to other people, like to other people's ideals. Like that never really works. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it does, because it's not going to work for us in the long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it might not be ours.
Because we're all different.
Yeah. So one thing that I was thinking about as I was kind of just trying to, you know, brain dump here is just that, consistency trumps intensity. No amount of intensity will ever add up to our consistency. Now, let me explain this. So, I was thinking, because I'm kind of an all or nothing person, and I want something to be done right away. I'm like, I need this goal to happen now. I'm going to put in one effort, and it's going to be done. And then when that happens, I get frustrated, and why is this working? I'm going to give up. And so this has kind of been a common theme lately, because I feel like a lot of things in my life have needed me to put in continual work, and it's been teaching me a lot. So one thing that I thought about in kind of regards to food is when we start a plan, we usually get excited, go all gung-ho, and we're like, we're going to do everything right, we're going to reach our goals, right? We've all probably felt that before. But what happens when we fail that plan, or we do something that we didn't think would be a part of it? We're like, that wasn't what we planned. We failed. And now we're like, okay, now we're done. Now we have to start over. And now I'm going to go emotional eat, at least for me. That's what I would do. I'm like, I'm just going to go eat a brownie. It's fine. But this is where this next part comes in. And this is where consistency and imperfect action must take precedence. It's realizing, oh, okay, we planned for this failure. Okay, now we just need to keep going. We need to keep putting one foot in front of the other and saying, I'm just going to take action, whatever that is, even if I failed. It's realizing, oh, I just messed up and ate this, quote unquote messed up and ate this. Well, instead of saying, well, I might as well eat more, just say, that's okay. Let's just make the next choice be good. And so it's realizing that imperfect action is just as good, and it actually helps us to continue on with our goals.
It sounds like a big part of it for you, and I agree with this, is like recognizing that we are not going to be perfect. Like, there are going to be those moments that don't go as we planned, and like being able to pivot, right? Like realizing, okay, this is okay, this happened, being honest, I guess, is kind of what I was thinking, but then and then letting that go, like, okay, so this happened, and then now this is how I want to handle it, right? Like, the ability to like be flexible and pivot instead of kind of holding on to the past failures is what I was thinking about when we were talking about this.
Right. Yeah, good point. A quote I was reading, and it's by somebody unknown, it says, but it's says, you can't expect to succeed if you only put in work on the days you feel like it. So that kind of hit bit hard.
Well, I have thought about when it comes to like how we feel, that this has helped me a lot to realize like how I feel is just like in this present moment. Like, feelings are, they're not, though they can be intense sometimes, they're not things really. Like, I can recognize, okay, this is how I feel, and then like this is what I want to do, like to kind of separate the two things.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Like, feelings are not facts.
Yeah, because I feel like that's a big, that's something that you have to practice to like recognize,
like, that feelings aren't facts, that they're just the way I'm feeling. And honestly, I heard this thing the other day that I thought was really helpful, that feelings, I'm trying to remember how she said it exactly, but it's like scientifically proven that feelings only last for about 90 seconds. And so that's why they talk about riding the wave. I don't know if you've heard that, but like, you know, surf the feeling or whatever, like ride the wave. So it's like, it's not actually the feeling that's the problem. It's all the thoughts I have about it.
Oh,
does that make sense? It's like 90 seconds. Like, you can do that. You can feel however you're feeling for 90 seconds. But if you start judging when I start judging myself and my thoughts go round and round, like a client and I were just talking about this, I think it was yesterday, about ruminating thoughts. Like, just like when the thoughts go into overthinking, you know, and that's super normal, but when I start to catch myself, that's where it's really cool, because I'm like, oh, I'm having a repeating thought pattern, and it's not really serving me at all. And so then in those ruminating thoughts, I'm creating more feelings about it, instead of just going, oh, that doesn't feel good, that's not a good feeling thought, what can I focus on otherwise? And that's where the, like, you had talked about earlier, imperfect or little action, like, that's where that concept for me comes in, where it's like, it's just a micro step in the right direction, instead of like thinking that I'm gonna go from feeling really horrible to really awesome. Instead, it's like, what's a better feeling thought? Because it's pretty critical to recognize that I'm not gonna go from like feeling really dumpy to really awesome, but maybe instead recognizing like, oh, I'm glad, like we were talking about the weather, I'm glad it's a little bit cooler today. Like, that's not like a huge gratitude or a huge thing, but it's something that I am grateful for, and makes me feel just a little bit better about the day today if I'm feeling bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's good, because when we put in those little, like, just a little bit better or whatever, it changes the whole trajectory of where we are and could be if we stayed on the same path that we were right now. And so it's just those little changes, because, you know, we can't change something in an instant. But, I mean, we kind of can, but not at the same time.
Well, it's hard for our nervous system to integrate the huge leaps.
That's a good way to put it.
So even though I'm telling myself like, this is awesome, it's going to be an awesome day. But if you're feeling really horrible, like it's really hard for your nervous system to believe that. Like you're not going to stay there. You're going to like think that for a second. And then your subconscious, remember, it wants to keep you safe. It's going to be like, heck no. Mm-hmm. Like today's not an awesome day. It's just really important to like make those little baby steps towards where we want to go. Because that your nervous system or your subconscious can actually believe. Mm-hmm. Your subconscious can believe that.
Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, good stuff. So I had written down like a few strategies to kind of help with this. Do you have anything else to add after what we were just talking about?
The only other thing that I had is just recognizing today is a new day. Like this moment is a new moment. Like those kinds of thoughts help me because we always have the chance to like think differently and be differently. Mm-hmm. But the subconscious or the devil or whatever you want to say wants to keep us stuck. Like our default mode is negative. And so it's really important for us to recognize like there's always a new opportunity. So no matter what happened before, how I did it before, how it's gone and all that, like I always have a chance to like think and feel and be different.
Right. Yeah, because I mean it's easier to be negative and the majority of the world's negative. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of exciting when we can think, okay, we can be different from everybody else. I want to like spark change. It's an inspiring thought. So a few strategies that could maybe help you with this. One, as Tony Robbins once said, if it's not I can't read my writing. If it's not scheduled, it's not real. Figured it out. So put it on the calendar if you really want to do it. It'll make you do it. Number two, work quietly. Let your actions speak for yourself, because if you're going around telling too many people about what your goals are, you kind of get too many opinions. And it's kind of fun to just work quietly and let people wonder, hey, what are you doing with the mask? It's more rewarding. And number three, work in sprints. Now, this was kind of a little interesting topic. I did a training on, we don't need to go into this, but I did a training on Scrum, on being a Scrum Master, and they work in sprints. They help engineers.
I'm getting you because I'm like, what is a Scrum Master? Should I know this? Because I do not. So maybe tell us.
No,
the listeners don't know, or it doesn't matter.
No.
I just feel like they might.
No, I will explain it. These people help mainly engineers to they schedule out what needs to be done, and they work in little, like 1 or 2 week, they call them sprints. So they set a goal that they're going to accomplish within that time to get it done. That way they're not like, okay, let's look at this a year out from now and be like, well, what did we... So how's it look now? And they'll be like, well, you did all this wrong, you did all this wrong. So then they just break it down. They reevaluate after those 1 or 2 weeks and kind of be like, okay, we need to stay on this path or we need to switch this up. And so I really enjoyed that. And the person that I did my training from says, I run my family on sprints. And they have like posters in their house of what they're going to do. And I'm like, that's really cool because it helps my brain, could help yours too, to break it down. So that is that. With that said, break it down. So, and however long you want those sprints to be, that way you are like, okay, I'm going to accomplish this by this time, and then we're going to reevaluate then.
So is kind of like the idea, like I've just practically speaking, I've used this with clients where I'm like, when we talked about their goal and their goal seems really overwhelming, maybe they have a lot of weight to lose, then we break it down into smaller goals.
Yes.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
So it's like, really, okay, maybe it's ideal to just focus on the next 5 pounds or
yeah,
just
exactly.
The next 1 week. or exactly. Which I kind of like that better because that works better for me. But like, okay, so then what's, so breaking that down further, like what's one thing, one habit that you can change this week that's going to move you closer to where you want to be, you know?
Right.
Anyway.
So, yeah. No, yeah. Exactly.
Putting because... it in like emotional eater's terms.
No, okay. Exactly.
Cool. Yeah, that's super helpful.
Because what might work this week might not work next week.
And yeah, so... and that was one of the notes I made in case it was ideal to share it in this episode is that like going with the flow, being able to be flexible is a huge key. Like, okay, if I have this goal and then I break it down and on the piece of paper, it's like, this is how I'm going to need to do that in order to get there, right? Okay, so every day for dinner, I'm going to eat this type of food or whatever. But then maybe my kid, it's super random. They did not recently break their arm, but like breaks their arm and then I end up at the ER with them. Well, then I'm going to have to pivot. Like, I need to eat something, and maybe the cafeteria food isn't exactly what that was. But instead of being like, well, oh my gosh, like all hell is broken loose, so now I can't eat anything. So I'm just going to have the, and then choosing the one thing I shouldn't, quote unquote, shouldn't be eating, which that's okay. That's what we call feeling like I failed and pivoting afterwards. But the whole point being pivoting is where it's at, because
it's all the pivot.
Then what's the best case scenario given the fact that you're at the ER, right? That was just kind of a random example.
No, I mean, that was
I don't even go to the ER with the broken arm situation anymore because it's a whole long story, but we go the next day because they can't even see if the arm's broken, or they don't cast a kid whose arm just broke it within that much period, like time. So they x-ray it later. Like, anyways.
Oh.
Yeah. This is not what this is about.
She's going deep, guys.
Okay. Anyways. But
I mean, I learned something. Anyway, so one last quote that I would like to leave you with. If you want to sustain your momentum, you have to feed it with consistency. And that's a random quote on the Western Governors University blog post. So
good.
I
love that. Okay, so hopefully this was helpful. I loved what you shared about the strategy, breaking that down. That was really cool.
Thank you.
And I appreciate anyone who, you know, is admitting that food can be a challenge, because I think mostly everyone probably at points has dealt with this, but we're maybe just not talking about it enough. So just know that you are not alone. And by the way, don't forget that the Beyond the Diet group is the place to be for this. So join us there. We'll put the link in the show notes. And otherwise, have a beautiful day.
Have a beautiful day wherever you are. We'll talk to you next time.
Toodles.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hey there, and welcome to the Energetics of Emotional Eating podcast. I am Emily.
This is Jen.
And we are excited to have another fun conversation with you guys. Jen, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about how to accept what you see in the mirror.
Ooh. Okay, so how did you come to this idea of what to talk about?
Well, I've been chatting with people just about, you know, what's going on for them with, you know, food and body image stuff. And one of the things that has come to my attention is when people look in the mirror. I'd asked a group of people, how do you feel when you look in the mirror? And the responses I got were mostly negative. And some people seemed actually really, you know, upset, I don't know if that's the right word, but about it, like they're feeling really, really low about what they how they feel when they look in the mirror. And so it got me thinking that this would be a really great conversation to have with Emily, you know, for you all to check out, because I think both of us have gotten, I say I think because I'm gonna let you speak for yourself, but a lot of help from the coaching and the work that we've done to be able to better accept our like physical appearance And I'd say that's based for myself, based mostly on what I'm focusing on. And that is helping me feel better and actually enjoy my life more. And so, yeah, what about you, Emily?
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with that. If you've listened to our other episodes, we talk a lot about the different areas of our life and balance and, you know, spending time practicing in this area to, and then that doesn't really make sense, but it's all a bunch of balance. And so if I am happy with myself and practicing all these other areas that I want to cultivate in my life and having a wide range of things that I'm putting my brain and time to, I spend less time thinking about, you know, what I do look like. I mean, of course I care what I look like. I want to look presentable because I just want to and look like I take care of myself. But I spend less time dwelling on, oh, what do I look like in the mirror? Because I don't have time for that. I want to be spending my time doing the things that I think are fun and give me life, and in turn help me to pour into other people's lives. So that's,
you know what I
about.
Was sorry.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
You know what I was thinking when you were talking is I don't think I don't think I look in the mirror anymore or any less. But the power that the mirror has to steal my joy is significantly reduced, right? So I don't think we are saying don't look in the mirror or, you know, how to fix anything with the mirror. It's more about what that does for you. Like how does it make you feel? And you know, we wanted to suggest maybe a couple questions or just some thoughts, different thoughts about like a different perspective on like, I guess the importance of that, right? Mm-hmm. Like how much power does the mirror have in your life? Because what I've realized is that, you know, depending on how I feel about what I see in the mirror and how much like prevalence or like importance I'm giving that, it can have the potential to ruin my whole day. And so and the funny thing about that actually is that because this is not funny actually, but because of body dysmorphia, it's not even always accurate what we see in the mirror, you know. You learned about body dysmorphia, right? Like,
yeah,
it's so crazy how I thought I was fat when I was at my thinnest, right? Like, that's
right.
You know that meme? I wish I could go back to when I thought I was fat or whatever that was.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, there is a meme that's like, I wish I was as fat as I thought I was in high school, or I don't remember exactly what it says, but it's yeah. Like, it's so accurate that we, you know, back in the day we thought we were fat, but we were actually looking pretty good. So anyway,
yeah, totally. So what kind of helps you when you are in front of the mirror?
Well,
what goes through your head?
Well, the thing that I was gonna share is, what helps me, I think that honestly, somehow the number on the scale bothers me more than the look in the mirror. It's kind of like hard to explain, but probably because I don't look in the mirror that, like, I don't just like stand and stare at myself in the mirror. This concept applies to both situations. And that is, for a minute, I kind of notice if that's bothering on a day that is bothering me, sorry, collecting my thoughts here. But then I might walk away and feel kind of like, I don't like that number. I don't like what I look like. And what I notice is that makes me feel really negative and really unhappy. And as soon as I catch myself feeling that way because of that, I work on like what Emily was talking about, like the balance of things, like how important is that really? And I'm not suggesting it's not at all important, or like not to give any credit or like focus to being healthy. But honestly, the exact number or exact look is not actually what I'm going for. That has never actually made me happy or been fulfilling. And so really quickly, I redirect my thoughts to how do I want my life to be, and what do I want to enjoy, and why is that important to me? And very, like, really quickly, as I redirect my focus, I remember how I really, my focus is to eat in a way that supports a life that I want to live. And that's like filled with memories and like fun times with my friends and my family and loving on my kids and enjoying experiences, not really about exactly what it looked like. That's never been very fulfilling for me.
No, for
How
sure.
How about you?
And yeah, no, I definitely agree with all of that. And I look back a few years ago, I was, in a lot different place than I am now. And I remember what I would think about when I looked in the mirror, and I would be like, oh, my face is gross, my body's gross, blah, blah, blah. And I just, as I look back now, I see a lot of just focusing on, you know, self. And, you know, when I, at least, focus a lot inwardly and nitpicking everything, it's becoming like I was obsessed and with myself. And so I learned a lot along the way and through the program that I did that, oh, it's not about that. That's exactly what Jen said. That is not going to fulfill me. And so it's taken a lot of, you know, just work and looking at myself in the mirror and changing those thoughts in the moment. But I, it's a lot more, you know, what's the word? Just rewarding now to just look and say, oh, you can notice those things, but it's changing that thought around and not giving any more weight to it. And so I think just the big part of this conversation is to just give ideas, and, you know, you have the choice. You have the choice of whether to choose to give in to those anxious thoughts, the worry, the obsession, but you also have the choice to choose the other side of that and say, you know, I'm alive right now, I'm breathing, and I want to go have fun doing this, and just walk away. Walk away from that mirror, walk away from that, and say, I'm going to go have fun, I'm not going to let that influence how I feel and my happiness.
And wrapping back to the beginning of how to accept what you see in the mirror, this entire conversation is the answer, because it's not by staring at myself in the mirror and just like telling myself like, oh yeah, I do, but I do like my body and I do like my C-section scar. And I, you know, like that may not be the case, but as you begin to love your life and enjoy experiences and have fun, you'll begin to see that you, little by little, you do accept what you see in the mirror, because it's just the temple in which you live, if that makes sense.
So true.
This is how to change it, is by having a balanced perspective. So
yeah, we're good. Do you have anything else to add on that? So last thing, if you liked this conversation, as always, like, share, and subscribe. But also, don't miss out on a free call you can have with Jen. Jen, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
For now at least, I don't know how long I'll be able to offer this free, but I'm offering a free coaching call to anyone who's interested and in these conversations and just is curious about what working together would, you know, be like. There's no pressure or even there's no need to even discuss signing up for anything unless you want to. It's just an opportunity to have an hour or so of
my time and talk about what I could do to help you and get you pointed in the direction in which you want to go.
Yeah, good stuff. Don't miss out, people. It's good.
Okay, we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yes, thank you for listening, and ta-ta for now.
Bye.
Well, hey there, and welcome to the Energetics of Emotional Eating podcast. This is your dynamic duo. I'm Emily.
This is Jen.
I couldn't hold it together.
This is so exciting.
I know, it's so exciting. Yeah, we got something fun to talk about today. I mean, as you can see in the title, that's why you clicked on it. But Jen, tell us a little bit more what we're talking about.
We're talking about the scarcity versus abundance mindset, like kind of the difference between those two things.
Okay, so when I first started looking into this, as Jen and I started talking, we were like, this usually applies to finances, or you know, we usually hear it in the money realm. I mean, we hear it in other realms as well, because as Jen says, everything affects everything. But I came to see, as I just did a little bit more research and delved into my own life, scarcity applies, I mean, a lot to the limiting beliefs that we tell ourselves. So we're not enough, we can't have that, we don't have enough resources or money or food, and everything sucks. But then there's the opposite side where we could live in abundance, and that's all the good things, potential. We have enough. We have plenty of friends. We have plenty of food to eat. And things are much better in that mindset. But what do you got?
Well, the thing is that literally the way that we think affects the way we feel. And when we don't feel so good, we tend to cope with food. Or that's been the pattern that, at least what we've been talking about here, right, on this podcast. So I liked what you said there about the limiting beliefs and whatnot, because literally the most common limiting belief that I see show up in my world with the woman that my message resonates with is I'm not good enough. It's like hands down the most prevalent limiting belief. So that I'm not good enough, if you break it down into, when you think about that limiting belief of I'm not good enough, think about how that makes you feel. And then I'm guessing that likely everyone listening to this, when you feel that, or when you think about that, you probably don't feel that great about yourself. And probably that belief is kind of what's running the show when we're eating our feelings, if that makes sense. That's what I found.
Yeah, for sure.
Because when I'm thinking correctly is the way I was going to say it, but thinking about things in a more positive light, in an abundance mindset, like Emily was saying, then I need food to nourish my body, but then that's enough. Then I go and enjoy other parts of my life, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, because if we can't get that, we can't practice that and hone that in for our food, then it's not gonna really go over to the other parts, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But real quick, so everybody listening, I want you to think about the last time that you were in that scarcity mindset. So kind of what we said, you were telling yourself, I'm not enough, I can't eat anything, I don't know, whatever it will be, a state of fear that things wouldn't quite work out, whatever lies you're telling yourself. So, remember that feeling. Okay, you got it? Okay, now let's go to the other side of that. So, where's the last time that you had an abundance mindset? So you felt joy, you were thankful, you felt generous with your time or money or whatever it may be. Generosity goes a lot of ways. But do you remember that feeling? And so once you get that feeling, now I want you to think which one you like better. Now, I know you might think that's a rhetorical question, but seriously, it helps us kind of, you know, really embody it. So, what is more common for you between those two? And you might think, well, I can't have an abundance mindset right now because I can't, because it doesn't make sense. It's not the right season for it. Everything is scarce. I have to, whatever it may be. But really, it's a choice. So, that might seem, I don't know. It's kind of a crazy thought, but it really is a choice. We can find abundance in whatever it may be. Jen, you kind of had a good thought about that
earlier when we were talking.
Yeah, you said something about how negativity is just everywhere. You want me to say what you said? Because it was good.
Yeah, I can't remember.
No, I put her on the spot.
What you're referring to, I'm like, shoot.
Oh.
I just remember saying that the way that this, I think of this, is really like, is there's negativity or there's positivity. There's like all emotions, all thoughts, like either fall into one or the other. So for me, when I think of scarcity, I also think of negative thinking. So limiting beliefs,
yeah.
Like there's lots of ways to word things, but that's how I think of it. But
yeah, you just said there's enough negativity in the world. And so if we don't need more negativity, I mean, I'm sure we can all agree with that. But we got to be our own little light of abundance in the crazy world.
The if I'm thinking, like, I think what I've realized is that because everything affects everything, sometimes the way I feel about one thing in my life kind of like will bleed into all areas. Like everything feels, if I feel negative about one thing, it's easy that everything feels negative. But actually, you can feel hard things and not also be negative, whatever you want to say, but about your food, right? Like I can, even though it's hard, which this is going to lead into kind of what to do about or what you can do to change things. But even though it is a challenge, you can feel hard things and still learn to care for your body, therefore enabling yourself to feel better and enjoy your life more and think different thoughts instead of the other way. Like before, when we felt bad, then we tended to eat bad, and I'm learning to like live with intention so that I'm thinking about the way that I want to feel and then nourishing my body so that I then can enjoy my life more and my mind is clear and then I'm thinking different thoughts, because it doesn't have to, like, negative, like we can change that, like Emily's saying, like you can choose to. What I've got for notes and like how you can change this is like we can choose to become more self-aware, which is kind of like a buzzword or like way to say things, but really to just like pay more attention to the thoughts we're thinking. So become more self-aware about our mindset and then start to have mindful eating habits. So what that is like very practically speaking, when you slow down and actually are present for your meal, you actually, yes, enjoy your food more, but get more nourishment from your meal, because there is the cephalic phase of digestion that when you actually stop and think about what you're eating and taste it in your mouth and are like fully present, you actually amplify, like it like intensifies the experience. You're enjoying your food more, but you're also helping your body to get more out of your meal. Like you actually can speed up your metabolism by, I think it's like 40%, by literally being present during your meal.
That's really cool. It's a good reminder for me.
Yes. So slow down. And then, so paying attention to how you're thinking, and then being present while you're eating. And then, like Emily was saying, challenge your negative thoughts. Like when you, yes, notice that you're having thoughts that are like more of that scarcity mindset way. That came out funny. But then you can like literally in current day, I'm working on this. Like when not just about food, but when thoughts come to me, I notice that like of the more negative nature, I'm like learning to be like, no. Like I'm like choosing to not believe every thought that comes into my head. And mm-hmm. So when you realize like you don't have to believe every thought that pops into your head or every belief or, you know, like a thought is just, or a belief is just a thought that you've repeated over and over, which means you can change it. So I can choose positive thoughts, things that seem more uplifting. And then a couple of things that help are a supportive environment, making realistic goals, and self-compassion. Like the way you're talking to yourself or thinking about things, is that the way that you would treat your very best friend? Mm. And that's a choice, right?
That's good.
So that's the notes that I had made of things that I wanted to share. But
that about sums it up. But when you were saying slowing down your food, a song popped in my head. Slow down, you move too fast. You gotta make this moment last.
Yes.
Anybody else know it?
You go, girl. I love it.
Oh my goodness. But that's about it. I mean, that kind of sums it up well. And I like what you said about whenever a negative thought creeps in, just replacing it with something positive, because we do have that choice and we can live in abundance even when things feel scarce. And this is something that we are still working on. So we're all in this together and we can help encourage each other. And as we continue to learn these things and gain in knowledge and know that we do have control in some aspect. But Jen, what should our listeners do at this point?
Well, if you have not yet had a free clarity call with me, I would love to chat with you a little bit. Just did this yesterday with somebody and it was a really great experience, I think, for both of us. I could speak for myself. I enjoy this, connecting with people that are on the journey to food freedom. And anyways, what we do is we hop on a Zoom call and then we just chat about what's been going on for you and where you want to go. And we call it a free clarity call because the intention is to get a little more clarity and give you a tool that you can use for cravings and emotional eating and stuff. So that you'll walk away with that. And also more clarity about where you want to go exactly and what you can do to get there.
Yes. So, amen, sister.
Yeah.
All right. You heard her.
There's a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
You can schedule that. Love to chat with you.
All right. Ta-ta. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.